Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the early line right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on a monstrous Thursday. Sweet 16 preview right around the corner. We'll hit the NBA board as well. But we begin with what right now is the top story in the sports world from the NFL. Tyreek Hill traded to the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins have now moved up to plus 400 to win the AFC East. The Kansas City Chiefs, still the favorites in the AFC West, but they have come back a bit to plus 155. So here's the question, Donnie. All-encompassing based on value and however you would want to play the markets, if you had to bet either the Dolphins or the Chiefs to win their division, which one would it be?
It's easy. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Big Red, Patrick Mahomes, still a good football team. Tough AFC West. But you're trying to set me up here because everybody knows the Buffalo Bills are going to the Super Bowl this year, which means they're going to win the division, Kevin, which means they're going to be the top overall seed in the AFC. You try to set this up as a tough pick, it's a no-brainer. Nobody, Kevin, nobody on this network, this show, anywhere on the East Coast is betting against the Buffalo Bills this year. That's a fact.
I mean, I guess if nobody wants to go out there and make a taste of money, I think the answer is certainly the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins have a roster that I think you line it up piece by piece, brick by brick, is going to compete with most of any in the NFL. The lackluster spot is quarterback. I acknowledge that. But there's two big things going for Miami. One, Tua Tagovailoa, as we've seen, play some fantastic football. Yes, it was in an Alabama uniform, but it exists. And he's still very young. And he's really only played one true NFL season, so he can take a step forward. But two, if McDaniel is who we tend to believe he is, coming from the Kyle Shanahan system, you only need a bit of competency at the quarterback position to rip off double-digit victories, as Shanahan proved with Jimmy Garoppolo. And this is also about value. And the funny thing about this is, and it's why I like this question, because in the Chiefs versus Bills debate, if you will, Donnie knows that I'm very Chiefs and he's very Bills. And yet somehow this kind of puts the two sides against one another. But the truth is, I don't think I could bet Kansas City right now at plus 155 to win the division. The division's very, very strong. I mean, it is. It's very strong. And if the Chiefs get out of the, you know, starting gates with a 2-0 start, they won't be the favorites. You can do damage with a plus 400 divisional ticket, even if this just comes down to Buffalo and Miami. That's the reality of this situation here. You line it up, Donnie, and again, it's not just Tyreek Hill. It's not just Jalen Waddle. I mean, just yesterday, this team added Teron Armstead, one of the best left tackles in the sport. I mean, this is a group that has improved throughout the entirety of the offseason, from not only what's on the field, but what's on the sideline from an offensive perspective. I think very highly of Brian Flores as a head coach. But offensively is where this group needed to improve, and they have done that massively during this offseason.
No, they really have, Kevin. Also, I think it may be even a better, you know, fun scenario to be. If you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning, division winners AFC East. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills at a minus 180 price. But how about this? New England Patriots, 4-1. Miami Dolphins, 4-1. So my question is, who actually finishes ahead in the division? The Patriots or the Dolphins? To me, right now, it's actually the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I tend to believe the same exact thing as our radio audience is with us here on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. It is the early line on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We talk about winners and losers of this trade. Winners, right? The Dolphins. Losers, for me, the Packers. Winners, you could debate the Buffalo Bills, right? Because Tyreek comes to the division, but the Chiefs usually are the top dog. Winners, winners, winners. The loss, Vegas Raiders. See, there are folks who feel as if Vegas did a bad job trading for Davante Adams. Obviously, always a terrible take. Whenever you can add the best wide receiver in the sport to a playoff team, you make that move. But Donnie, there is every reason to believe that their deal for Davante Adams had a part in the Kansas City Chiefs needing to move on, or choosing to move on, I should say, instead of needing, from Tyreek Hill. So you mean to tell me that the Vegas Raiders got Davante Adams for less, right? Not only on the contract, but in terms of trade assets that had to be sent out. And one of the domino effects was Tyreek Hill leaving the AFC West? Big time winners, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, setting the bar, right? And getting in before the bar goes absolutely nuts and runs out of beer at that point. Because when you look at these two wide receivers, and you have to know, Tyreek, this extension was in place or trying to get done for quite some time. And all it took was, we're right near the finish line here, and wham, Davante Adams goes to the Raiders for that massive deal, and they had to rip up the contracts, and Chiefs like, man, we almost had this. If we could have just closed this deal a week ahead of time, paid him like $1 million more guaranteed, but instead of, you know, maybe nickel and diming a little bit at the end, which is still going to be a massive deal, that just blew it out of the water, and there was no choice saying, now how are we going to go into the negotiating room when we were fighting over X amount of dollars, now turns into XX amount of dollars. So that was a tough one there, a tough pill to swallow for the Chiefs.
Yeah, a big boost, no doubt about it, for the rest of that AFC West, as all four teams are desperately trying to push for a divisional crown. Really exciting stuff. We'll hit an NBA preview light card today, but some good opportunities out there. Next right here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, good NBA board fly through. First one is a big one in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors and the Cavs. The Cavs trying to avoid the play-in. Right now, these teams are separated by just one game. Just one game. They will have the same record if the Toronto Raptors win, and they're favored to do so. A four-point favorite, middling total, 215.5. Truly, Donnie, when we look at that, the rest of the games, rest of the night, this is one of the biggest games throughout the remainder of the regular season in the entire sport. Raptors, Cavs, what do you think?
Yeah, and you know the good part about this? Here's what I think. The ultimate winner in this game probably is what? The Chicago Bulls? Because either one of these teams is going to take a loss, which is very good for my playoff ticket. Yeah. But I'm looking, and I don't even want to say playoff pedigree, because this is a very different Raptors team than what we saw when they actually won the championship. So if we're trying to settle in, I do think the Raptors at home for me will get the nod. Obviously, you know how talented the Cleveland Cavaliers are. But if we're looking from a Fred VanVleet, Barnes, Siakam, Precious Achiuwa, Birch, it's not a great lineup here tonight that's going to come into play. So either you're just banking on Fred VanVleet going nuts tonight, or you're just saying, I'm going to take this young, talented Cavalier squad. I still do lean towards Toronto. We'll see where the line goes throughout the day. But if I had a full go, as we like to say, Toronto lineup, I'd feel much more anticipating and taking this game. But if we're going to sit around that 4 or 5 line, you're probably better off taking the Cavaliers and just flipping that coin and see where you end up.
Yeah, look, here's the thing for me. It's a big game, and I think big players obviously then step up in those spots. And Darius Garland has fit that description. An all-star this season, his number's 23.5. You talk about a number. Look, I think they're trying to tempt you here, but that's okay. And I have every expectation this will close 24.5. You want me to just kind of rip through some of the recent games here for Darius Garland? 29, 24, 25, 22, 24, 25, 24, 41. 17, 26, 33. You even go pre-break, 30, 27, 27. Those are the numbers from February. So he's been over this number all but twice, but he's landed 24 a couple of times. That's where they can change the math on you. They hang 24.5. All of a sudden you can give, oh, this is hitting 10 of its last 12. Oh, now it's hitting 7 of its last 12. You see how that can change the number there. So 23.5 could be a key spot to be involved. And also, Garland, from an assist perspective, has really started to fill up the card. You see that number now, 10.5 for him in 4 of his last 5 games. 13, 14, 12, and 17 dimes versus the Lakers. A big part of this has been the Cavs have been playing a bunch of overs now, as that team was one of the great under teams in the NBA. A big transition there. Again, you see that 215.5. Huge game, massive ramifications throughout the postseason. And I wanted to see right now if they have odds to make the play-in. It's the Raptors at minus 185, and it's the Cavs at plus 140. So this game will have, again, big-time ramifications on even that market right there. Donnie's Bulls, 5-1. It's a big boost. But, Don, if the Bulls don't check into this board here with an easy win on their plate, only a 1.5-point favorite on the road in New Orleans, this feels like a game the Chicago Bulls need to have.
Yeah, and if it's a playoff atmosphere in this for both sides, because usually you'd say to yourself, okay, the Bulls comfortably in the playoffs, not so much here because they're in the playoff position, but they don't want to slip down into the playoff rounds. And if you take a look at the Pelicans here on their side, what do they want to do? They don't want to slip out of the playoffs altogether and out of the play-in round as well. So you're trying to match these teams up. Caruso, Levine, Green, DeRozan, and Vucevic here, the starting lineup for the Bulls. They need this game. And I think they know they need this game, but also you have the comfortabilities. You can double up on one of those teams in the Eastern Conference. We just talked about a game which is, you know, close in the standings. The Cavaliers and the Raptors, who both sit just behind the Chicago Bulls. You pick up a win being the Bulls, and let's just say the Raptors and or the Cavaliers lose, you pick up a de facto two-game swing on one of those two ball clubs. Big game both ways around, but also it's hard to say the impact on both sides, saying who needs this more. Kevin, they both need this game.
It's really, it's 100% the case. So the Pels, you know, and you almost could like start to say, did they actually not want to make the play-in? Are they tanking? Because where'd Brandon Ingram go? Now, he just got injured. Very unfortunate timing for New Orleans. He hasn't played since the 6th of March. This team is a half game back of the Lakers. But more importantly, they're only 1.5 up on the San Antonio Spurs. Again, the Pelicans made some moves to be inside this play-in here when they brought over C.J. McCollum. You know, Chicago, I saw right now it's maybe day-to-day on Levine and DeRozan, whether or not those two are out there. So this is one of those games, you know, you want to keep your eye on. Things could be shifting. Definitely enough time to hit, you know, at least two more games on this board, Donnie. But Denver-Phoenix, I see this line. I thought people were absent. That's what I thought. I know it's a second leg of a back-to-back for Phoenix. That's not often mattered for them much. The Denver Nuggets have not been playing the caliber of basketball to be favored in this game. I don't know if the projected lineups you see there, say Booker or Ayton, are missing this game. I don't know if this is a high-altitude back-to-back, changes the math here. I'm surprised that Denver's laying 3.
Are we starting to talk about this, Kevin, now, where sometimes you see in the NFL Week 16 and Week 17 who actually needs this game more? Because it's fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it very much. We just talk about the Chicago Bulls and the Pelicans. Each one of those teams needs it, and also the Cavaliers and the Raptors game. Maybe the same thing here we're talking about, Kevin, with the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. Anticipated lineups, yeah they got Booker and Ayton listed in the lineup tonight. So maybe if you're checking and saying, okay, the Phoenix Suns, number one team in the West, they're not going to lose a 9-game lead with like 10 games to play. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Denver Nuggets sitting in that sixth position there, 16 games back of the Phoenix Suns, but more importantly, only a game and a half up on the Minnesota Timberwolves at this point here. So if we're looking at just from the matter of if the Suns go in and get beat by the Nuggets, no big deal. Hopefully nobody got hurt, rested some players. But from a Nuggets perspective, every single game is important as they try to hold off the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Again, Denver just played Boston at home and caught 3 points. You could tell me right now that Boston, compared to a Suns, no Chris Paul, are comparably booked. But again, that would mean that this is 6 points off. Factor in the home court. Again, if this was pick, I wouldn't be as surprised. The 3 is a strong Denver line, no doubt. Milwaukee, Washington tonight, DRS. Again, I remain on Giannis watch here. I don't think Embiid's 30 in the win last night versus the Lakers was, it was, I mean, look, this is where we're at with Embiid. 30 points in a win doesn't overwhelm, but no LeBron. Luster was taken off of that game. I remain steady that Giannis is still in the mix here. And of course, no listed Middleton for the game. Giannis could have a big one if the game's close enough. They're a 12-point favorite versus Washington.
Yeah, we talk about the odds boost here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, where I think you're going to get an odds boost here in the East between Joel Embiid and also Giannis Antetokounmpo, who might take down that top overall seed in the East. So if we're looking at Joel Embiid, who was a minus 165 in the MVP race coming into last night, no LeBron James, drops 30 and 10, they win the game, doesn't move, because that's a performance that we expected. It wasn't a performance that blew us away, 45 points, 15 rebounds, and he was the catalyst in that game. He did enough, the Sixers did enough, and that's why his lead stays the same. But it will be interesting to see if the Sixers continue to win and move up the standings as the Miami Heat sort of, you know, get their stuff together here over the final 10 games. Or, again, just talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. How about if they surge and take over the lead from the Miami Heat? That's certainly going to improve those odds here. I don't think that 10-1 price is going to get any shorter unless Giannis is average down the stretch, Joel Embiid is average down the stretch, the Heat stay in that one spot, then Joel Embiid's probably going to take the award down. But you're still in that target range where if Giannis is doing some special things while the Milwaukee Bucks are winning and overtaking that top seed, things could get interesting.
Giannis's points prop is 32.5. Again, it's one of those numbers where this guy, he really could give you 25 at the break, but you might feel like you need that because of how much better Milwaukee is than Washington. Trust me, Milwaukee will take down the one seed. They'll play Brooklyn in the first round if they have to. They're not going to duck from the smoke. Miami isn't going to duck from them either. Miami's just playing bad basketball. Philly will run from it. We've seen that from Philly. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I'll mention quickly in this game, Drew Holiday, 20.5 for a points prop. No Middleton last game had 27. Regardless, he's had 21 plus in three of his last four, playing very, very well recently, Drew Holiday. The other NBA game tonight, Memphis and Indiana. Grizz are going to lay 12.5 on the second leg of a back-to-back, 235 for your total. Not sure if John Morant returns to the lineup. Probably does not, which might make that 12.5 a little strong here, all of the circumstances considered. All right, up next, Sweet 16, right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after it. Sweet 16. Four fantastic games on tonight's board right here in the NCAA tournament. The opening day for the Sweet 16, Gonzaga and Arkansas is where we begin. The Zags lay 9.5 in a 1-4 matchup. The total big time, 155, highest total by almost 10 full points on today's board, actually throughout the entirety of this Sweet 16 round. It's Gonzaga and Arkansas. Donnie, side and total, what do you like?
It's 155. So obviously, if you're looking for a game tonight where you can sit back and get a good feel for tempo, this is your game here tonight because Arkansas can get after it and so can Gonzaga. But I think this line makes a lot of sense, the 9.5. It's almost where the odds makers know that demarcation line. Like, if we put this game double digits, people are going to be like, ooh, maybe it's time to look at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. If we keep it under 10 points, that means like Gonzaga backers will be interested as well, which means that if we're sitting here at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, Kevin, looking at a 9.5, do they want Gonzaga money tonight? It looks like that's what they're actually hoping for. And I got to agree with you because if it's the take the points and pray model here for March Madness, this game fits it. Arkansas is a good ball club. Arkansas is not coming in and playing Gonzaga going, we have no chance to win this game. I can't believe we'll just take a participation trophy and go home. They expect to win this game. I have an Arkansas ticket in my back pocket that will absolutely, Kevin, surge if they beat the Gonzaga Bulldogs tonight. But having said that, nobody's ever a good matchup for Gonzaga. It's just you're trying to look for weak links and, you know, how you can get after them. You don't. Why? Top 10 in the country here in defense. Best team in the country on offense. And they hit you from every level. Hey, do you want to score inside the arc? How about number one in the nation, Kevin? 61%. That probably means they don't shoot the three all that effective. How about they shoot it as a team at 37% here? This is going to be a tough one for Arkansas. I don't have a play per se because there's two games that I really like. But if I'm sitting back and watching this game, 155 seems about right for the total, which I do think they can get over. But from a side perspective, I'll stay with the moniker. I'll just take the points and pray in this one, rooting on my ticket here for Arkansas.
So here's an interesting spot, right, is can we basically have Groundhog Day for these two teams? Arkansas in neither one of these teams have covered a number yet in their first two games here. Arkansas,
though, covered both first halves. They were out there. They were up comfortably on New Mexico State and Vermont at the end of one. And then they lost the second half. Gonzaga, disastrous. They have not even sniffed covering a first half spread. They have dominated your live lines, though. You can catch the Zags live and cover numbers live in a way that should not be possible. Shut the TV off, cut easy on the live numbers on the Zags. So Arkansas in the first half will make some sense for folks at a 5.5 marker. But for me, I think there is a chance that Gonzaga, hyper aware, Donnie, of these slow starts, is coming out here and pushing the pace early. I think it could be difficult to hold the Zags in check in that way because it feels maybe a little too simple. I think you take Arkansas over the course of the full game. This is going to be a tougher game than the Memphis spot there. One of the big boosts for Arkansas is that they are 14th in the country on the defensive side of the ball. That Memphis team, look, they're good, but they were 32nd, so you see that it still is a step up for Gonzaga on the defensive side here. And here's one of the bigger things that pushed me to feeling a little bit better, and we'll hit it before we get to the props, is that Arkansas, Donnie, is 4-1 this season against the spread as a dog. But two of those ATS wins were outright losses. Because so often, Donnie Simmons, oh, they're 4-1 as a dog, and they also win all of those games. Well, if I'm betting, you know, Arkansas plus 9.5, but kind of the way the trends line up, they need to win for me to cash, that's a little bit difficult. I think Arkansas can stay inside this number. I think there's a chance that they are up at the break. I think they do have a slight chance to win this game. But I think right now, from what we've seen from these two teams, and not just over the opening two rounds, but through the course of the build-up to this tournament here, Arkansas plus 9.5 is the right side.
Now, how about this, too, also? Because we're trying to break down these games, and every basketball team we're going to talk about here is a very good one. Mm-hmm. The body clock situation. This game is going to be played in San Francisco. Why is that important? It tips at 4 o'clock local time. So if we're looking for a team that's more East Coast, Arkansas, maybe their body clock's a little more in tune with a true 7 o'clock East Coast start as opposed to Gonzaga here on the West Coast starting at 4 o'clock. And I'm not betting this in just one of those, you know, informational standpoints where you say, so, hey, Gonzaga got off to another slow start. Maybe they're used to playing a little bit later in the day on the West Coast. We'll see how that pertains. And also, I don't know how the traffic is in San Francisco, but a 4 o'clock tip time, I don't know. Is that arena going to be a little bit, you know, close to filling up, waiting for the second game in? Because obviously we know teams want to get their play, or the fans want to get in to see the game. But that's an interesting start time on the West Coast, particularly in a busy city like San Francisco.
Yeah, no, it could be an odd spot, no doubt. I'll hit the props market. Couple numbers that really jumped off of the page to me. One that we talked about yesterday, J.D. Nocte, over 3.5 assists. He's hit the over in 5 of his last 7. Both losses landed exactly on 3. Big-time total of 155. Implies points, implies opportunities there for the Razorbacks. I also like Jalen. The Arkansas numbers jumped out a little bit more to me. Jalen Williams, who, by the way, so, you know, we had just had Jalen Duren versus Chet Holmgren, the two top bigs in the upcoming draft class. Jalen Williams of Arkansas is probably your third best big. Over 9.5 rebounds. An elite big man prospect on this stage who has hit over in 10 of 12. I mean, guy's a rebounding machine, 6'10". He is no joke there, and he will be able to crash the glass. And lastly, if you're getting involved with the three-point shot market here and you want to hunt some plus money down, Stanley Moody? Tough scene there. But Stanley Yu, as his friends, you know him affectionately there.
They do.
To go
do.
Over 2.5 at plus 130. I was on his under last round, hoping that he wouldn't have a ton of volume. I kind of skated by. He took 8 shots, but he only made 2. But I like that because overall, he still made 3-plus in 5 of his last 7. Coming off of a game where he willingly let them rip for 8 but didn't get to 3, Donnie, those are 3 props all on the Arkansas side that jump out to me.
Yeah, prop night's good, too, because I think you brought up the point yesterday saying, you know, typically in the NBA, we're looking at 215s, 220s, highs 240, 245 totals here. This is the high total tonight, 155. That's a really good number in college basketball. So if you're looking even from a rebound perspective, if you're looking from a point perspective, it makes sense. Because keep in mind, both of these teams, very good tempos, which means two extra possessions, which might get you extra rebounds, extra points, extra assists here. So this is the game of the night that if you're looking for points, you're going to probably get it here. Mm-hmm.
Winner of this game moves on to play the winner of Duke, Texas Tech. Instead of going chronological order, I want to line these games up for who would be meeting in the Elite Eight. Tech a slight 1-point favorite. The money line is minus 118. The total here is 137.5. We talk about reading lines, Donnie. Sometimes I think you can read totals even. I ask you this. I'll see if you agree. Maybe not. A total, for me, that's a Duke total. That's a Duke total at 137.5. Tech totals, I think, are 130 or lower. The Blue Devils have been an over team. Their offense has been clicking and grooving here. I look at the total. I think 137.5 suggests Duke. I've thought this was a spot for Duke. I just think that I trust their offense more, and I know some people I will certainly disagree, and that's fine. Tech, number one defense in the country. Duke, number four offense in the country. I trust Duke from both sides of the ball perspective a bit more because I think there's a chance that Tech's offense can always disappoint. I like Duke in the game.
You know, it's interesting here because this is going to divide, like, because I'm on the opposite side, but for different purposes here. Mm-hmm. I'm actually rooting for Duke in this game. I love storylines. I love Coach K advancing into the Elite Eight, into the Final Four. I think that's great for college basketball. But matching up in this game, I actually think Texas Tech has a slight nod. If we're looking at totals on the season here, Duke's defense does not turn you over. And the reason why that's big here is if Duke was a team, let's just say in the top 100, at turning you over from a defensive side, that could really get under Texas Tech's skin because they're 85th in the country at turning the basketball over. 20% of their possessions don't even end in a shot, which is amazing. So if you could turn the gas up on them, that would affect them. Now, styles make fights. You always hear me say that here. You look at Texas Tech, not really reliant on the three-point shot. Matter of fact, only 32% as a team, but 261st, Kevin, in the country at launching from three-point range. And why does that matter in? Duke is very good at defending the three-point line and chasing you off of the three-point line. So this game might be decided in the paint. And if we look at that point distribution, which is always key, it shows you the level of where the scoring is coming from and which teams are more comfortable scoring from the three-point line, from the free throw line, or inside the arc. If you take a look here at Texas Tech, 55% of their offense comes from inside the arc, primarily in the paint. If we look at Duke, how about this? 11th in the country at letting you score inside the arc. I think it matches up pretty well for Texas Tech. And also keep in mind, Duke, we know, is a fantastic offense. But at the same time, yeah, Texas Tech is every bit as good as on defense. And if we're on a neutral court site way out on the West Coast and not necessarily in South Carolina or playing in Greensboro in North Carolina where Duke has that fan base here, sure, Duke has a national fan base. But if this gym starts to get rocking here with a Texas Tech comeback, it usually flips against Duke. I'm going to go ahead and take Texas Tech in this game, even though it's crazy. Sort of rooting for the Duke Blue Devils here.
All of the country is Duke country is kind of my expectation. Like, that's just, I think you'll get still more Blue Devil fans there. I think that they're almost traveling with this band again, as it is K's last run. I've told people this.
Family,
I have not
will
felt
be there.
Beaten down. I've not felt beaten down by the K thing, not one bit. Maybe it's just because we haven't done it here. On the people, I'm so tired of K. I don't know what coverage you're watching. Stop watching it, maybe. Because, I mean, hey, look, it's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is a big deal, but it's always a part of the story. Look, there are two props in this game that I quite like. One of them is probably my favorite prop I'll discuss today. I'll save that for next segment. I'll throw you this. AJ Griffin, over 1.5 made threes, shoots at 45% from beyond the arc this year. However, over his last three games, ice cold, 22% from three. I think he bounces back. And by the way, don't sell me on, but it's the neutral courts that'll ruin him. Shot at 55% outside of Cameron Indoor this year from beyond the arc. Bounce back game for AJ Griffin, over 1.5. More props, more games, all next year on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it. We're right back here on the Early Line. Still two more games from today's Sweet 16 board to preview. Finishing up the props market from Duke, Texas Tech. I just mentioned AJ Griffin, over 1.5 made threes. It's a minus 140 price, but his props were 2.5, and you were going juice towards the over. There's a big adjustment here because of his struggles. I like to buy low on a guy like AJ Griffin here in this game. And Donnie, you were saying there might be some numbers that suggest this is a good play as well.
Yeah, very rarely do you say, hey, I like over props against the number one most efficient defense in college basketball. But if there is a way to beat Texas Tech, Kevin, it is through the three-point line. And we know Duke as a team, top 30 in the country at making three-point shots. They don't shoot a ton of them. They're about 210th in the country at volume. But here's the difference. We're looking at roughly 360 teams in Division I in college basketball. 344th at letting you shoot the three-point shot, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So if you're looking for three-point shots, the volume is probably going to be there. And a lot of times, Kevin, that's all you can ask for. If you get A.J. Griffin tonight, he goes 1 of 6 from three-point range, you did your job as a handicapper. You gave yourself a legitimate chance. They just have to go down. It's not one of those, like, I'm going to take an over prop for a guy who might only shoot 2 three-point shots tonight. That shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I love when Donnie can back it up with some numbers. Here's another one that I like. And I understand it's the best defense in college basketball. Big-time players make big-time plays. All narrative, no cap. Paolo Banchero, over 16.5 points. Here's what Banchero has done in big games this season. Opening game, Madison Square Garden, Kentucky, 22. Gonzaga out there in Vegas, 21. Coach K's last home game versus UNC, 23. ACC championship game versus Vought Tech, 20. 17 in round one, 19 in round two. Every game that's been a big game, he has cleared this number. I'm trusted Dan Cowher, whether they win or lose, to go out swinging here on a big-time stage. Let's keep things moving along. Villanova and Michigan. So let me say this going into this game right away. I'm still alive and a survivor. I've picked Villanova. But there is one thing that has me very nervous, aside from the fact that upsets usually find their way on the board. Don and I, when we were on Moneyline a week or so ago, and again, check that out from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern right here on Sports Grid Radio, we started to look at an over-under 10.5 for the combined seeds if you add them all up. You know, if it was all ones, it'd be four, so on and so forth. And 10.5 on first glance, like, come on, I mean, it's got to be on. We get some ones, you mix in a couple twos there. I mean, how are we getting over 10.5? A little bit of research. I believe since 2010, only twice the added up numbers of seeds have not exceeded 11 or more. I keep staring at Michigan, Donnie, as the team that will single-handedly bring the seeding total above the 11 marker. Now, that doesn't really matter to this game, but I say that to say I find myself liking Nova while respecting that Michigan has found the way to get here. Last year, we're in the Elite Eight. Maybe they can do it again. But when you look at this 2-11 matchup, what jumps out?
It's a very good game, and both of these teams match up really well because you asked me yesterday, take a quick little peek out of this game, and you try to find those little ins and outs like, hey, Texas Tech's got an unbelievable defense, but you can get to them from a three-point line. The styles in this game will be interesting. Now, the one thing that we do know, Villanova is an efficient offense, top 10 Kevin in the country, and the reason being is they don't turn the basketball over. Now, also, you take a look at a Michigan defense, Kevin, 337th in the nation at turning you over. So what does that mean for Villanova? They'll be able to get into their sets. They'll be able to get their open jump shots. And also, when you're a team that turns the basketball over, and Villanova doesn't, but I'm just using this as terminology, and a defense that will turn you over, which Michigan doesn't, you get the easy points, Kevin, on the opposite end. So you get out and run, 3-on-2 fast breaks, 2-on-1s, wide open looks from three-point range, which might not be the case for Michigan. So those easier baskets aren't going to happen. But if we take a look in this game, and if you see at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Michigan-Villanova, this is a 5-point spread right now. And the reason why this is key is because at the end of the game, if you think Villanova is going to win and they have a couple point lead with a minute to go and the fouls kick in, number one in the nation as a team, Kevin, from the free throw line, 83%. So the reason that's big is you see the 5-point line, you know it's going to come down to free throws. Villanova is your team for free throws.
Well, perhaps then, Donnie, the number here would be a Villanova team total. The number 70.5. Michigan, right, as you said, on the defensive side of the ball, maybe leaves a little bit to be desired. 77th in the country. Nova ranks 8th in offense on KenPom. Michigan has reps for his top 10 offenses. Arizona, Iowa, and Purdue, a total of 5 games. They've allowed 79 or more in 4 of those 5 games. The matchup is there. Villanova, very good offense. We've seen those teams have success versus the Michigan Wolverines. Nova, by the way, perfect against the spread in the first half. I mean, look, they've covered throughout the tournament here, but Michigan has trailed at the break in both games. If you want to attack Nova early, I think that can make some sense as well. I have a prop play on Colin Gillespie in this game, but Donnie, were there anything else that you wanted to hit Nova Michigan-wise?
No, it's going to be a great game. And, you know, we're just talking from a fan perspective here. Obviously, me being in the Philadelphia area, Villanova, just outside the city limits, this is also a team that is very good on both ends. And, Jay, right now, having said that, is this game going to get a little bit feisty, a little bit physical, two good defenses here? And maybe in the handshake line, could you see maybe a slap to the side of the head to Jay Wright? How about that, Kev? Anything?
Listen. I think, look, Donnie, here's the thing. I mean, these guys shooting or working. I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out here, right? I mean, is Jay Wright going to take a little bit of a powder and let one of his assistants get in there, catch the heat, you know what I mean? Babyface fire up, come in for the hot tag? No, man, that'd be a whoo. Yeah, someone, they should bring in the Crab to sit in
the audience
in Nova gear. See, like, that's what, now that's good stuff there. Again, let us book this promotion. You know what I mean? We'll put a couple good Bizaby faces on top, and we'll make the whole thing work just fine. Here's the thing on Gillespie. 15.5 points for the prop, 2.5 made threes at plus money. He's hit those two numbers in two of his last three, and it's actually not been, you know, the two winners have not come in the same game. It's kind of rotated here. Here's why I like this, and I like both of them. One, the three-point made shots is plus money. So if you end up splitting, you should be fine in terms of bringing home a profit. But here's really the big thing. In these three games that you're using for a sample size, the efficiency has not been there for Gillespie. He has shot 35%, 45%, and 35% from the field. The reason I bring that up, and by the way, in his last three games from beyond the arc, he has taken 8, 9, and 9 attempts. I have the workload that I need, Donnie, for one of the best players in the country. If the efficiency's there, we could be looking at a game where he makes 5 triples and scores 25 points, because you've been able to cash these tickets without the efficiency.
Yes, and also keep in mind, some of these bigger players that we're talking about here, Kevin, we had a pretty good, you know, series of saying, what happens if these teams win the national championship and taking a look at what those prices for MOP would be. Colin Gillespie has a big game tonight on a national stage. That only improves it. So not only Villanova can win a championship, but a massive ticket here and taking out an MOP. It should be interesting to watch it play out, but as I said, the Thursday card for me, Kevin, much more excited than the Friday card's good, but the Thursday card is special tonight, and I can't wait to watch it play out.
And it closes out with Arizona-Houston, a 1.5-point line. We talked about this a little bit inside our number one. I appreciate what this Houston team has done, but they just don't have the resume for me to line up versus the Wildcats. They just don't. You look at who this team has been, their best opponents, Wisconsin, Bama, and Memphis. They've won one of those five games. And again, I know they lost to Wisconsin only by 2, Alabama only by 1. Those two teams in Wisconsin and Alabama are nowhere near the class that Arizona is coming into this game here. And I know people, because here's my real thought on this, Donnie. I think what you're getting is a line that is really weighing in these two teams' last games. Arizona's in overtime versus TCU. Houston's running Illinois off of the floor. I think that is the biggest reason that this is 1.5 as opposed to 3.5 or maybe even a flat 4, is I think there's recency bias helping Houston's number here.
This is going to be a brawl tonight. And this is going to be one of those games where you watch like Gonzaga and Arkansas get after it, get up and down the court. This one is going to be a defensive effort. Arizona, 17th in the nation at defensive efficiency. Houston, number 10. Let's take a look at inside the paint. You want to talk about a slugfest down low? Arizona's defense, number 2 in the nation at 41.7% at giving it up in the paint, which is sensational. Houston, 9th in the country, just behind them at 44%. We talked about it earlier with the Villanova squad, right? If it's going to be a close game against Michigan and they have a lead, they will close you out from the free throw line, no question about it. But if we're taking a look at Houston tonight in a close game, as we anticipate with the 1.5-point spread, Kevin, they're 327th in the nation as a team from the free throw line at only 66.7%. Every point is going to matter in this game, and this is one of those that really can do them in. But if we're looking from an odds perspective with that line, it screams, as we said, Houston Cougars. And I'm going to say right now, I think Houston's actually going to win this basketball game. But on top of that, instead of taking a side, which I do think Houston has a legitimate chance to win, I like the under in this game. If you are going to have that physical of a battle down low in this type of game, and also two good defenses ranked in the top 20 in efficiency,
Points might be hard to come by in a game that's going to tip a little bit later at 10 o'clock. I'll go under tonight between Houston and Arizona.
And let me just bring up an old Houston NCAA tournament game as it pertains to Arizona going to overtime. You can play close games en route to a national championship. In the 2017-2018 season, I remember this so well, that Michigan team, Donnie, that went to the championship game and played Villanova, in the second round played Houston. And with 1 second left, Michigan was losing 63-61. And then Jordan Poole, and of course now on the Warriors, hit a buzzer beater three and sent Michigan on to the next round. You can play close games, and in fact, to some degree, I encourage it to help you down in the trenches there. So I'm not worried that Arizona ultimately had a dogfight versus TCU. To close it out with one more prop here, and there's a couple interesting spots on this board. You know, Koloko is fascinating. I almost, Donnie, gave out notes on both his over and under, which clearly means don't play it. But he has not played very well against the elite defenses in the country, but is piping hot coming into this game. And last one out versus TCU, which is a top 20 defense, you know, had almost 30 points on 12 of 13 shooting. But for me, it's Benedict Mathurin in a very comparable way to that we talked about Paolo Bancaro. TCU gives you 30. UCLA in the Pac-12 championship game, here's 27. Tennessee, 28. Illinois, 30. On the biggest stage, he stepped up. Yes, he did have two unders versus UCLA in the regular season, but I think that's a trump card for what he did in the Pac-12 championship game. Big stage, best players, Mathurin fits the description.
No, it certainly does, and that's what you need here. That you need the big players to step up in these moments, because this isn't one of those games, Kevin, as we said, 160 points here, where it's going to be, hey, let me just fill it up because I'm going to be wide open. You are really going to have to get down and dirty and grimy in this game to score points, and if that's what's going to take place for some of these better players to do it, now's the time to step up in these national stages. Great slate, and I'm looking forward to tonight. I think Houston gets by. In my bracket, I actually have Arizona, but I do think Houston has a legitimate chance to get by Arizona tonight.
It's going to be a good one. Also, there are 3x2s. 3x2s. Woo! In the Sweet 16.
Unders?
Now, the unders are all like minus 250, minus 300. I mean, don't threaten me with a good time here. I mean, you mean to tell me I only got to go 500, make some profit? I'm betting 3x2s in college basketball. It sounds like the worst idea of all time. I love it. I absolutely love it. You listen up. Next, right here on the Early Line, Donnie Wrightside will close it on out. Keep it right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here for the Early Line on a Sweet 16 Thursday on the Sports Grid Network here at Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh, and we carried you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before handing it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens. Now, we had a lot of college basketball talk some NBA, but the NFL is still at the forefront, and I want to talk some wide receivers. So you, please, listen up. All right, the question of the day is not, can Duke beat Texas Tech? Can Gonzaga prevail over Arkansas? It's, is the wide receiver position the new quarterback position in the NFL? So, Donnie, why are you bringing up that topic now? Because it seems to be making a lot of sense. How many times have we heard, draft your quarterback in the draft, and over the first 5 years of this deal, now is your time to strike gold before you have to pay your quarterback $25, $35, $45, $50 million a year. So you better win now to balance out your roster before you have to pay that quarterback, and maybe you can't afford your favorite wide receiver. So now we're taking a look here at the wide receiver position. And why we're bringing this up, Devontae Adams, a monster deal from the Raiders. He leaves town with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Now we take a look at Tyreek Hill, a even bigger monster deal where he leaves the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Miami Dolphins. And the reason I bring this up is, let's just take a look at some of the other wide receivers in the NFL where this has actually happened. Stephon Diggs was tremendous for the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings said, we can't afford you. You're going to go to the Buffalo Bills now, where he signed a big deal. We're going to draft Justin Jefferson, who is a phenomenal replacement wide receiver. But what's going to happen in 3 or 4 years here with him, Justin Jefferson, eligible for an extension? Is he going to be too expensive now for the Minnesota Vikings? And they now have to draft another wide receiver because they can't afford him. Wild times in the NFL where now the wide receiver position almost as important as the quarterback position. Well, we know it's not almost as important, but you see the pay grade, it's going up and up and up. Guys, make sure you stay tuned right now to Ben Stevens and the Morning After right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Sweet 16 Thursday, people. Enjoy.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.